I think once we start doing that, then it eases everyone's first day fear.
I owe it all to the great leaders that came before me.
The U.S. Census officials are predicting a severe undercount for the capital region.
Now, we're not going to get rid of all these deadly drugs, but we can start making sure our communities are safe from them.
Hi again, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, students head back to school, Pittsfield gets a new fire chief, the Northeast prepares for the upcoming U.S. Census, and Vermont takes new steps to fight the opioid crisis. But first, a coalition of county clerks is lining up behind New York State lawmakers opposed to proposed license plate replacement fees. The clerks say a proposal from Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration to require drivers to pay $25 to replace license plates that are at least 10 years old and another $20 to keep their number is unfair to taxpayers. The GOP-controlled Rensselaer County legislature is also proposing a measure opposed to the fees. On WAMC, Cuomo challenged the lawmakers to return to Albany for a special session if they don't like the law. Teachers and staff at the Schenectady City School District have been hard at work in preparation for the return of students. WAMC's Jesse King reports.
Good afternoon.
Packed in the Schenectady High School auditorium, teachers and office staff are partway through a two-day training session to gear them up for the first day of classes. Superintendent Lawrence Spring says it's an opportunity to update staff on the past year's accomplishments and where the district stands going forward.
Our school district saw the highest graduation rate that we've seen in a dozen years. Our elementary school that was in receivership, Kane Elementary. And receivership is not a nice thing. It's, you know, really when the state is saying that a school is performing very low, and Kane Elementary had a 12 percentage point increase of students achieving proficiency.
Spring says the overall graduation rate is 70%. He adds that Schenectady became a model of sorts for New York State in addressing students' social and emotional needs, with the district's crisis prevention team reducing the number of student psychiatric hospitalizations by over 50%, and the high school's new grad lab identifying and supporting students at risk of failing.
Sometimes as kids fell off the path because of homelessness or difficult home situations or mental health, sometimes just, you know, because of adolescence, but working with them to make sure that they knew what they needed to do, that they had a plan for getting it done. And they got 24 out of those 25 kids to graduate.
The teachers at Spring's presentation have been preparing for weeks. At Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary in Schenectady's Hamilton Hill, Christina Lamorta is perched atop a chair, stapling together the finishing touches of her third grade classroom. Colorful billboards with writing tips and borders adorned with apple decals. A still empty billboard hangs by the window.
This board here where it says September is kind of an open board right now because we're going to do like a get the scoop, and I'm going to fill it with like ice cream. They're going to decorate it with their own like little things about themselves, like kind of like get the scoop on them.
Lamorta says she plans to spend the first few classes just getting to know her 20 students. With over 560 students from pre-K to grade 5, Martin Luther King Jr. Elementary is one of the district's largest. Assistant Principal Josh Bate says the behind-the-scenes work before the new school year can start as soon as the first day of summer.
The custodians actually take every single piece of furniture out of the classroom, clean the room top to bottom, and put all the furniture back according to the way the teacher wants it. Sometimes it's put back the same, sometimes they put it back completely different.
Lamorta says she always arranges her desks into groups to encourage students to work together. In her 12th year teaching, she says she still gets the first day jitters.
I think we all get that teacher anxiety just like the kids do. But making that connection when the kids come in, we kind of have that meeting right away, calm each other down and get to know each other. And I think once we start doing that, then it eases everyone's first day fear.
At Spring's presentation, Lamorta and others are encouraged to take a copy of the New York Times 1619 Project, a special publication released in August recognizing the 400th anniversary of the start of slavery in America and its lasting impact on the U.S. Spring says it's important to realize that the effects of racism are not just felt nationally, but locally as well. Last fall, black players on Schenectady's girls' soccer team faced racial slurs as they played Niskayuna. And Spring wants teachers to think about how traditional curriculums can overlook black history and shut out students of color.
And so asking folks to rethink their curriculum, think about what books we choose to put in kids' hands, think about what notions of community, what notions of family, what notions of interactions that we choose to value or we choose to police, and why, are really important things in terms of making sure that all of our students feel that school is their home.
Until then, school staff are still putting home together in other ways. The Schenectady City School District says it serves nearly 10,000 students from pre-K to grade 12, with 11 elementary schools, 3 middle schools, 1 high school, and a continuing education center. Reporting from Schenectady for WAMC, I'm Jesse King.
The largest fire department in Berkshire County has a new chief. Mayor Linda Tyer announced the appointment of Deputy Chief Tom Sammons to be the new head of the Pittsfield Fire Department on Wednesday. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes reports.
Mayor Linda Tyer announced the appointment of Deputy Chief Tom Sammons to be the new head of the Pittsfield Fire Department on Wednesday.
It is a great honor that I accept the position as fire chief. It is truly the pinnacle of my career to be here today to accept this. I have enjoyed 23 years moving up in the department through the ranks, and I owe it all to the great leaders that came before me that taught me how to lead and how to command a fire scene.
Sammons, 50, fills the vacancy left by the retirement of Chief Robert Trewinski in July, who held the position for the past 9 years. Over the course of his career, Sammons has received multiple commendations.
You receive a life-saving award when you use a defibrillator and CPR on a person and they leave the hospital. So I have 3 of those.
One of his top priorities for the department is mental health.
We saw that critical incident stress debriefing was an issue in our department. We've had some tragedies in Pittsfield in the recent years, and we were afraid it was affecting our personnel, the dispatchers, as well as our partners in the ambulance services. And so I worked with the people that are trained in this that we have in the department, and wrote a policy that we all were comfortable with that was recently implemented. And because, you know, like they'll say, you don't see the scars of emotional issues.
Salmon said the move is in line with an increased focus on personnel safety.
We've instituted over the past couple of years trying to keep our gear and trying to keep our trucks and everything much cleaner because of the threat of cancer in the fire service is so prominent. From when we used to, you know, it was a sign of that you've been around when all your gear was filthy dirty from going into fires. And now after every fire, everybody's fighting to get their stuff and we have washing machines to wash our gear.
The department has 96 line personnel between its headquarters and 4 satellite stations, with 5 engines and a ladder truck in service. Tyer says that Salmon's hiring came out of the assessment center process. Candidates receive scores from examiners, which are in turn submitted to the civil service program. 3 finalists interviewed for the job.
We've modified the way we are using the civil service system because it has some flaws, quite frankly.
The mayor said that in Sammons, she found a leader whose style aligned with the values of her administration.
A sense of shared responsibility to one another, asking, you know, how can we solve problems instead of, you know, just doing things the way we've always done them. His time in the inspections bureau meant a lot to me in terms of understanding, you know, the challenges that we face in an aging city with regard to vacancies and older housing stock, being able to understand how to lead the department, knowing that we have a city of neighborhoods that can be certainly older.
Following a wave of retirements, Salmon said he's taking charge of a young department.
Yesterday was my last 24-hour shift on the floor as a deputy chief, and it was the first day for a new group of 10 recruits that are in our training program here in Pittsfield. Eventually, they'll end up going to the Mass Fire Academy. They're in a slot to go, break them up in a couple of groups. But it was kind of ironic that yesterday was my last day, and it was their first. So, but we do. We have a very young department. You can give them all kinds of stuff to read, but until their boots are in the street and they're doing the job is where the experience comes. And from what I've learned, experience is just as important as anything you get out of a book.
Salmon's appointment faces a formal city council vote September 10th. His starting salary is $112,000 a year. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Now let's catch up on some federal government officials from our region. Representative Paul Tonko continues to press for a fair and accurate census count of New York's 20th congressional district. The Democrat spoke Tuesday in Albany with the 2020 census looming. WAMC's Capital Region Bureau Chief Dave Lucas reports.
The U.S. Census officials are predicting a severe undercount for the Capital Region communities. That's based on an analysis where they're indicating that perhaps more than one-third of the Capital Region residents may not be counted. And they're focusing on local communities like Albany, Schenectady, Troy, and Amsterdam at perhaps being at the greatest risk.
Mayor Kathy Sheehan says she can't stress enough the importance of the census.
The city of Albany in Albany County is really an outlier in with respect to low response rates. We know based on what happened in the last census that it is going to take a tremendous amount of community effort to ensure that everyone is counted. We also have a high proportion of vulnerable populations, people who are afraid that if they respond to the census, it could result in some negative consequence for themselves. And so educating people, making sure that they understand that the information that is provided in the census cannot be used, it is illegal to use it for any other purpose than counting.
Sheehan says dollars distributed on the federal level for roads and schools are calculated by population count.
This is how we get resources for our city. This is how we ensure that we're represented in Congress, and it's estimated that for every person not counted, it costs the state $2,000 a year.
Jim Malatras co-chairs the bipartisan New York State Complete Count Commission. He says undercounts are typical in communities of color and foreign-born communities.
We want to expand internet access to all communities and digital literacy, working with our libraries. And our state agencies, particularly the Department of Labor, is going to open up all of their job career centers for people to fill out their census.
Jeff Baylor is the Census Bureau's New York Regional Office Director.
Right now we're recruiting for jobs in the area. $17 an hour. How to apply, you just go to 2020census.gov/job. This is a great job for students, for people who just want to earn some extra income. You don't have to quit your 40-hour week job. You can work nights and weekends and be extremely successful. Even though the census is a national event, it has to be conducted at the local level. That's why we have to hire people to work in their own neighborhoods, who speak the languages of their community residents, who understand the culture. So please help us get the word out there that we're recruiting right now for great jobs throughout the area.
Baylor says the census will be hiring 450,000 people nationwide to knock on doors starting in mid-May. Counting begins in mid-March and continues through the end of July. Dave Lucas, WAMC News.
Vermont U.S. Senator Patrick Leahy was at the Burlington offices of the State Health Department this week to announce a federal grant to help the state respond to opioid overdoses and strengthen prevention efforts. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley reports.
Vermont's senior U.S. Senator, a Democrat, is vice chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Patrick Leahy announced that he had secured federal funding that will help the Vermont Department of Health track and respond to opioid overdoses and fatalities.
We're announcing a $9.5 million three-year grant from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And with this new funding, the Vermont Department of Health will be able to better analyze. They can work with other state partners to match data and collecting and sharing such information, but doing it in real time can result in critical public warnings. Now, we're not going to get rid of all these deadly drugs, but we can start making sure our communities are safe from them. Today, and this is a shocking statistic, Americans are more likely to die of an opioid overdose than die in a car accident. Think about that. And rural populations like ours have been the hardest hit.
Senator Leahy said while Vermont has done more than most states to tackle the opioid epidemic, it's not enough.
The funding will expand the reach of prevention training statewide. Some of the partners in this effort include the Department of Corrections, homeless shelters, libraries, restorative justice centers, and the Department of Children and Families. It'll provide stigma training for first responders and medical providers. And importantly, the funding will allow the state to work with after-school providers. As you can see, this is not one size fits all. We're going into all these areas. We all have to join in this. There's no one part of our government or our community that can do it by themselves.
The health department plans to use part of the funds to review data of 2018 drug-related deaths and determine who had interacted with state systems. Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine says with the increased data, they will be able to implement more prevention programs.
The thing historically that the government has funded the least is prevention work. And obviously in a crisis like an epidemic of opioid use and overdose deaths, people want to work on treatment, but you have to be able to think upstream in terms of prevention. I mean, we live prevention at the health department. And anytime we can work with youth at any age in a preventive mode, anytime we can work with our partners and communities who are focused on prevention, anytime we can prevent families from breaking apart and individuals from dying of an overdose death, preventing all the circumstances that would have led to that, that's what we live to do.
Vermont will receive $3.2 million per year for 3 years. There were 110 opioid-related deaths in 2018 in Vermont, a slight increase from 2017's 108 fatalities. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Till next time, I'm Ian Pickus.